could share what I have to share this morning, that you know I feel like a Daniel in the den of lions, right? So I... So I know you can sympathize with me, okay? But you know, when Marge asked me and called a couple of months ago to share on this topic, I think she'll recall that I didn't hesitate, because I thought it was a privilege to be able to share on this topic. It's very near and it's very dear to my heart. Actually, the basic vision and the goal of the Navigators. You know, I'm sure that every one of you this morning would like to say what I'm going to say in the first two statements. I'm very grateful to be a Christian. I'm very grateful that the Lord brought me into His family and that He saved me. And He's prepared an eternal home for me. And then, you know, there isn't often in our lifetime when we have the privilege to stand up and say that we're very grateful, and I'm very grateful to be a Navigator. I feel that from the bottom of my heart, and I'm very thankful to the Lord that He has put us in this ministry. It was 25 years ago this year that I was a freshman at UCLA. And I was born into a Christian home, and at four my father passed away, and my mother, as a widow, raised me, and I'm very grateful for her input into my life. I accepted the Lord when I was 10 years old, and then there were some years of kind of searching around. I was in a very, very strong, evangelical, mission-minded church, but I felt that the need in my own life was somebody to help me personally. I had so many questions on how you relate to the Lord personally. And about 18, when I was ready to go on to college, this hunger and this thirst just grew and grew, until one evening I just got down beside my bed and I told the Lord, I'm going to turn my life over completely to You. And 2 weeks later, a girl walked up to me on campus and said to me, would you like to be in a small group Bible study? Well, if you know, I jumped out of my skin. She was the result of Leela Sparks' 1950 project to UCLA. She was a generation on down the line. She today is Dr. Ruth Dix. She's a missionary doctor in Africa. She's written in cameos. Maybe you've read the book. But she took five of us, and she helped us grow for 3 years on campus. She helped me to know how to have a quiet time. She helped me to know how to memorize Scripture and to study the Word of God. And I'm eternally grateful that she took the time and the interest in me. Shortly after that, I met my husband in Los Angeles. He was already having a fruitful ministry with men. Not Navigator, but he was doing the best he knew how. He had led five of his roommates to Christ. God brought us together for marriage, and then we pledged our lives together to serve God on the foreign field. After becoming married the first year in Los Angeles, we attended the meetings of the Wycliffe Bible Translators with Dr. Cameron Townsend, and we were getting slated to go overseas. I would be an elementary school teacher, and Ken would be in the JARS program. Well, what happened was they suggested we come to Glen Eyrie for a Navigator conference. Well, that was the turning point of our lives. We'd been married 1 year. We were married in 55. We came here in 56. And we came here in August. Dawson had drowned in June. And Lauren was taking over the reins of the work. Well, we saw here some lives who had something that we did not have. We did not have the stamina, the stability, the spiritual help that we needed to go to the mission field. And I am eternally grateful that the Lord brought us to this place. We talked with Lauren, and he suggested we come for 9 months of training with the Navigators. So we I canceled my teaching contract and Ken quit his job and we came here. And 3 years later, we headed out to an area assignment in Norfolk, Virginia for 4 years to learn the military ministry. Ken had come to Christ in the Air Force in Alaska, and he kind of had a desire to reach out that way. And so for 4 years, we learned the basic navigator ministry and then had a contact point. We took 1 year out after that to go to Multnomah School of the Bible and take a year of graduate study in the Bible. And then we came on staff and had 2 years in Charleston, South Carolina of our staff assignment with Skip Gray in the development of the Southeast region in the military ministry with a full-fledged navigator home. Then 3 years overseas in the Orient in the military ministry, and then 8 years here. So you can tell by my gray hair that I've been around. I have two children, one boy in college in his second year at Laterno College, and then a high school senior about ready to graduate. Well, that's just a little background, but I hope it'll help you understand why I'm sold on the Navigator ministry. I called up yesterday to get the up-to-date scoop so you'd all be up-to-date on what's going on. I asked how many countries that we're currently ministering in, and we're ministering in 34 countries. The most recent country that we entered was India. And I understand that we're officially, unofficially in India. That means John Ridgway is in as a teaching professor, because India is closed to the basic full-time missionary work. I almost dropped dead when I heard our staff of 1,377, but Ann Berkey said they rounded off at 1,400, I guess with children or support staff. Isn't that something? That's an international staff of 1,400. You know, I asked Ken last night, Lucy, if he could recall how many area reps we had in 56 when we first came. He said he thought we had 17 area reps in the United States and a few overseas. I can't believe the difference. Okay, the aim of the navigators is to help fulfill Christ's great commission by means of reproducing disciple makers and disciple making ministries, resulting in disciples in every nation. That was the aim in 1977. I got a call yesterday that the new aim from the ILT that they'll be discussing is: the aim of the navigators is to help fulfill Christ's great commission by multiplying laborers in every nation. Our basic vision is to make converts through evangelizing and sharing the gospel. We then, from the converts, desire to build basic disciples by an establishing ministry in the Word of God, and then equipping these to be a new term, it was to me, serving disciples or equipped disciples. That's straight from the horse's mouth. I'm going to share a few more personal things, but I am going to take a short minute out. So you have to, I know it's been, you had a fantastic thing from Dan, but I'm going to give you a little bit of theory now, so listen carefully. But I asked Gary Crane in Records, where can I find out what the basic vision of the navigators is? And she gave me the four logs from last year. And I suggest that if you have them, that you read them. In it is an article in each one by Lauren Sanney on the basic disciple making ministry of the navigators. I thought it was excellent. So I'm going to very quickly quote what he said, and I hope this will be helpful to us. The Lord says in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The kingdom of God has to do with redeemed men and women. John Stott of England defines the kingdom as the spiritual conquest of men and women for Christ. First of all, the kingdom of heaven is the big picture, the worldwide picture. It transcends denominations, ideologies, cultures, and political boundaries. Second, the kingdom of God is unshakable. It's a movement with the whole sweep of history behind it. It's eternal and invincible. In the midst of uncertainties, eroding relationships, and shifting political scenes, we can have a deep inner stability because we're in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Third, the kingdom has an unchangeable king, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And finally, the king lives in his subjects. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a priceless privilege, the supreme honor to have the king himself take up residence within the lowliest of his subjects. Is there a place in the body of Christ for the ministry such as that of the navigators? The word church encompasses, as we all know, the body of Christ, and it also encompasses the local congregations. The body of Christ is universal, including all believers everywhere, while congregations are necessarily local. The body of Christ is made up of true believers. It rests upon the twin foundation stones of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We are one with every believer on the face of the earth. Regardless of language, nationality, race, we truly are one in the Lord. There's a rich diversity of gifts in the body, and this diversity must be, however, there will be specialists within that diversity. In the NAVS, we believe that God has called us to perform a special service in the body of Christ. We're one with all believers everywhere, however, we are independent and yet interrelated. But our function is distinct, much as that the function of our big toe is distinct from other parts of our physical body. What's the purpose of all these diverse gifts and ministries of the member of the body of Christ? Is that we'll all be built up and reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God and become mature. Christ is the center of our unity and the model of our maturity. We in the Navigators feel our calling from God is to specialize in equipping saints for the particular ministry of discipling. The discipling ministry is primarily evangelizing and establishing, winning the lost and building up the saved. We recruit and train people to do the work of evangelizing and establishing. We then try to relate them to those we evangelize, to the rest of the body of Christ. And then the big heart cry I know of Lauren and the staff is God says that the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. The problem is not with the harvest, but with the shortage of workers. And we in the Navigators believe that our job is to help provide those workers, both laymen and specialists, for the harvest fields of the world. Through the years, our aim has been the same laborers. We may have called them by different names, rugged soldiers of the cross, reproducers, good seed, multipliers, disciple makers. But whatever the title, their task is the same, to win people to Christ and to build them up in the faith. That's what a discipler does. The Navigators envision many such disciplers or laborers in every country of the world, reproducing themselves by raising up other disciplers and passing that on in the principle of reproduction. And finally, the Great Commission was given to the entire body of Christ, every member of which is called to proclaim the good news of reconciliation to Christ. One so reconciled and so being taught in God's word is a disciple. The Navigators want to see this process taking place in every nation. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. I'm sorry I had to weed through that, but I felt that that was definitely what is the aim in a nutshell, is that we evangelize and we establish. And Lauren says also in the very last point, is we export people. We send laborers to the next dorm, the next campus, the next town, the next country. I'd like to share just a few points in closing on why I'm personally sold on the vision and the purpose of the Navigators. First of all, as I shared, it's helped me personally, as nothing else has in my own life. The ability to be helped to know how to know the Lord Jesus Christ better, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and make Him known. It's helped my marriage. When we came in 1956, we'd been married a year, and I had been raised in a type of a family where the women were fairly dominant. So I had a very unique experience. There were some young wives on the staff who were going to have a babies. So I started calling around and I said, I think it'd be great if we had a baby shower for some of these young wives. And I got a phone call after a while from Leela. And she said, I wondered if you realized that we do have a structure. We do have a wives group that you might have thought of working through. She said, I'd like to have some time with you and talk with you. That was my introduction to what it means to be in submission to each other and to be in submission to the Lord. And then it moved as she spent time with me on how to have submission in my marriage relationship. And I am eternally grateful that she took the time to help me with that. It's helped me raise my children. The Lord has enabled us to be around godly people who have families who are raising them in the midst of a ministry situation. He sent us to Norfolk, Virginia for 4 years to learn the basic thrust of the Navigator ministry. But at that same time, I had two children, and we were around Cease and Thelma Davidson, and I am eternally grateful to see a man and a woman who, in the midst of a very heavy ministry load situation, raised godly children. And I'm so thankful. The balance between discipline and love, and the balance between sharing your ministry and your life with them. It's also helped me have a fruitful life and a ministry. As I mentioned, we had asked God to be able to serve Him full time right after we were married. And I'm very grateful for the outreach that the Navigator work has given to me to have this ministry. Ken and I have taken as our life verse together 1 Thess 2:8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own lives, because you were dear unto us. And I'm very grateful for the 13 years of having a Navigator home, and the privilege of having people live in our home and their lives rub off on us. And I want to make a positive statement about the Navigator home here. I raised two children in the middle of all of the six fellas and the three couples and the so forth that were living with us. And you know, the couple in Yugoslavia, Dick and Marge, were over a while back, and they asked our boys outright if what they felt about the Nav ministry and the Nav home, and the boys were very, very positive about it. God was very faithful to us in those years of providing that vehicle that meant a great deal to our own sons. Another point of why I'm sold on the Navigator ministry is that I've seen it work in the lives of other people. I have seen the Word of God shared, as I know many of you have. It's changed lives. And the most wonderful thing is that many of these lives that we've had a privilege of ministering with are serving God on the mission field today. I am sold that it does work. You do not have to convince me. I know that God's word is right and it does work. We've had the privilege of ministering here locally, and I'll have to be honest that after the 13 years in the field ministry, it was a little hard to come to headquarters because I hated to think of the fact maybe of giving up a Navigator home or so forth. But God did a new thing in my life and helped me to realize that whether I was out on a rock on Okinawa in the middle of the Pacific, or whether I was here and at home base, you can still have a ministry and a discipling. I'm thankful for Jerry White and Marina, and for Carol, who have fostered these evangelistic coffees. And at one time they said, why don't you have an evening couples Bible study? And I'm so thankful that about 3 years ago he brought into our lives, a couple of ladies that are here this morning, Elsie Sturgis and Carol Dirks. In almost 3 years, God has preserved them and kept them, and we hope they'll be continuing reproducers. So all I can say is it does work. It is working. It continues to work, and it will in the future. And finally, in closing, how can we as wives and mothers be involved in the worldwide Navigator ministry? Well, I feel like first to get alone with the Lord and ask Him to really burn it into our heart and our life, that we would be committed to evangelizing and discipling people. Now, I know many of you have small children, and I have been through that as far as little ones at home, and your time isn't as free as some of the rest. But God can, I do believe, use us as disciple makers even during this time. I have to smile because God has given us a French couple on one side. He's a French chef. They're not Christians. And someone just moved in, and she's a German girl on the other side. So I said, thank you, Lord. I don't have to go to France or Germany. They're right there. So what I'm saying is right next door. We can have just one person that God could lead us to minister to. I also feel like we need to begin at home with our own families and our own children and disciple them. I feel like it's our privilege when they're little ones to teach them the Word of God and to share a very positive influence with them of how important God's Word is and to help them to love it and also to help them to have a burden for reaching others. Then the other point is that we might be able and available to help in any way here where we are locally to be involved. Marianne Krebs is a young wife, and I see she's had a baby since she's been here, and then she just recently has had another one. And she's been a real challenge to me. We have these evangelistic evening coffees, and you know, she just has a newborn practically. And she called me the other day and she said, how can I help? I said, well, you can pray. That can be a tremendous, just pray for what God's going to do through these coffees. And then she said, well, then I asked her to bake a cake. That didn't take her out of her home, but it was a very necessary part. And then she said, let me come and bring my baby and put it down in the kitchen at the Glen and help you cut some cakes. And you know, I thought that God says that we can divide together the spoil. We had over 200 Tuesday night who came, and I think we have 12 to 15 couples who signed up to be in a Bible study group. We talked with several of them. They're not Christians. Some are Christians and are so hungry and searching. But I feel like that Marianne's part was to pray. She's just as much in the disciple making or to bake the cake or to even offer to help. These are just ways I feel like that we can be involved in a basic ministry. One thing that God has begun to lay on Ken in my heart for the people that we're working with, and I'm going to follow through in my own life and with my sons, is that we take on a country of the world where a NAV person is ministering, and that we write them and we ask for prayer requests, maybe begin to give more heavily there financially, and to pass this on to our family and our children, that maybe Finland might be our country, or Brazil, or some way, as Lauren says, to keep the big picture in mind, that God wants disciples raised up throughout the entire world. The challenging verse to me is 1 Corinthians 15:58, is therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Thank you, Doris.
Yeah, one of the things I've been praying about for Kay and I is that we would enunciate clearly today. Oh, at least we have a president who can understand. What did you say? Thank you, Priscilla. Oh, dear. I'd just like to say amen to what Doris has said. And I really believe that I'm to be here today because of some things that's happened. I got about 4 hours sleep last night. This morning before breakfast, our dog threw up on the living room rug. I was getting dressed and my slip strap broke. And I couldn't find a pin to pin it any place, so I was frantically running all over the house. And then I looked in the mirror and I had slept on one side of my hair and it was lopsided. And I couldn't get this out to save my life. So I thought, well, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. I'd like to just throw in something before I start for missionary associates. God has placed 5 missionary associates on the foreign field now. And there are 30 in the waiting list. And Bill just says, you know, he just sits back and sees God at work in this. He is really opening doors. People are just coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, concerning missionary associates. So you might put that on your prayer list, because this is another way that I think God is using the navigators to get other missionaries overseas as professionals and disciple makers.
What country are those 5 in?
I was afraid somebody would ask that. Let's see, we have 2 in Nigeria, and Ruth Knutson, Mary White's sister, will be going over in just a few more weeks. John Heine will be going over to be with the Myers and hopefully to get into India by this fall. We have 1 fellow in the Philippines, 1 in Malaysia, yes, in one of the islands. In one of the southern islands. Yeah. One of the southern islands. And let's see, there's 1 more country I can't remember. Ghana, right, in Ghana. Thank you. But it's just exciting to see what God's doing in that area. that's one of the reasons we're here. We didn't know that when we came out, but God knew it. Now let's see, why am I here? Oh, yes. 10 years ago, we were still in the Air Force, stationed in Alabama, and Bill had the privilege of leading a captain who was an agnostic to the Lord, and his name was Bob Linden. And he also had the privilege of following up on him to help him become a disciple before we were transferred. And since then, they had been praying, and we had been praying that maybe someday we could co-labor together. So when we moved out here last summer, after we'd been out here a couple of months, we got a phone call from Bob in Omaha, and he said, "You won't believe it, but God is transferring me to the Air Force Academy as an instructor." And he said, "I'm beyond age, I'm beyond rank, but God has pulled all stops." And so we just said, "Well, thank you, Lord. God has given us a couple." And then after we got out of service and moved to Knoxville, Tennessee to have a ministry there in the community ministry and the collegiate ministry, God introduced us to a couple one summer that was with another Christian organization. And they would come to Knoxville for a conference, and they would stay with our key couple while they were there. And we would stay up until the wee hours of the morning just answering questions that they ask about disciple making. Well, this went on for 2 summers. And by the 3rd summer, when we felt God was leading us out here, we get a phone call from them, and they were in Boston. And they said, "Look, we want to come to Knoxville and learn how to make disciples and become disciple makers." And we said, "Well, we feel led to go to Colorado Springs." And they said, "Well, we'll come with you." And so we said, "Okay." Now, this is really commitment, gals, when a couple will call you up and say, "We'll go with you because we've heard God is with you, because we want to learn how to make disciples." And then we learned they didn't have a penny, not one penny, to move from Boston out here. And so we began to pray, and God sent them $1,000. And so they came out here last fall to learn how to make disciples. And their names are the Fornwalls, Roger and Barbara Fornwall. So we have 2 couples that we feel very, very privileged to to be co-laboring with here in the Springs. And we feel like they're very special. And we want to treat them as very special people because they are before God. When we got out of service and moved to Knoxville to co-labor with the Navigators, God gave us a promise from Leviticus 26:3. And he said, Ann and Bill, I will multiply you, and I will make you fruitful. Well, the first year and a half that we were there, we didn't see any signs of that. In fact, there were just a lot of things going on in our lives that God wanted to deal with us personally before he could start making us fruitful and multiplying us. Then after he got through with that, we began to see God work in our lives, in the community and in the collegiate ministry. Well, as I said, we moved out here last summer. And as we begin to work with the two couples that we have, we feel like that because they're already disciples, that one of the things that we needed to do with them is to encourage them in the basics. And that's where we all need to be encouraged, don't we? That's where it really is. So one of the things that we do when we get together with them on a weekly basis is to review scripture, to have a Bible study, to pray with and for one another. Another thing that we wanted to do with our couples is to serve them. And Bill and I have found that if you want to teach servanthood, then you have to be a servant. And so God has just given us all sorts of opportunities to serve them. Barbara is ill with her third child. The oldest is 2.5. And so I have a lot of ways to serve her there. And Pat is recovering from a hysterectomy. So God really keeps me in sight of how to serve these gals, maybe in some ways that I haven't even thought about serving them. Another thing that we do for our couples is to pray for them continually. We have a little three prayer chain type call deal, and we call one another all the time during the week just to pray. Just for very simple things, Barbara will call and she'll say, hey, I really need physical strength today. Will you pray? Or maybe Pat will call and she'll say, I sent the kids off to school this morning and I had a lot of impatience with them, showed a lot of impatience with them before they left. Would you just pray that God would straighten my heart out today? And I might call and ask the same thing. And we're finding that opening our lives to one another and sharing with where we really live, you know, the day-in, day-out nitty-gritties, we're really beginning to function as a team, as couples, and getting that close fellowship with one another and with the Lord. In the Bible study that we're doing with our couples right now, we are going through Walt Hendrickson's book on disciples are made, not born, because we feel like this is where they are. And this is also encouraging Bill and I again all over about disciple making. And we want to teach them in such a way that as they teach others, not only to become disciples and disciple makers, but to have a multiplying disciple ministry. In other words, not just to go out and get another Bible study, but to teach those people how to go out and teach others so that they might multiply. And we see them doing this. One of our couples have launched out into a 2-7 series with several other couples now. And their lives has just changed so much because they see that God can use them. And they see God using them in the lives of other couples here. And that's been an exciting thing for us to see and for them to see. The verse that God gave us in Leviticus is, I will make you fruitful and I will multiply you. That's a lifetime verse for Bill and I. No matter whatever else God might call us to do in the Navigator ministry, we believe that we're to be discipling somebody, as Dara said, if it's only one person. And so we're trusting God to fulfill Leviticus 26, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people. And in closing, another verse that God gave us the years that we were in Knoxville is in Isaiah 43:3, and it said, you are precious in my sight, and I love you, and you're honored, and I will give people for your lives. And we've asked God also to give that to us as a life verse. And we see God continuing to do this as we trust Him for people.
Does this go off at 11:30? I think this has been exciting just to see what Now Press is doing all over the world, and just to have this encouragement once again on what our vision is. And I will make this brief, just to tell you what we're doing here. We just moved here in August from Oklahoma, and Lewis is state director. His position is director over Colorado, I started to say Oklahoma, and Wyoming and part of South Dakota. And that involves training staff, supervising staff, and training potential staff. And he does this one-on-one through the telephone, through traveling, through ministering to the individuals, as well as through conferences, speaking, and then ministering as he goes to the different areas, whether they be staff, potential staff, or whatever. Another aspect of his job that I'd like to share with you right now is the coordinator for the summer training programs in the Western region. And I'm excited about that because there are approximately 12 programs that will be going on this summer, and with over 250 Christians. That means 250 Christians in tents in training in situations where their character is developed, not only their skills as far as disciple making, but just that inner relationship with Jesus Christ, with someone, you know, over them. And I'm excited about that. I think that's a joy that we can all share in through praying for these different training programs. And one program that I'm excited about is the Glen training staff this summer will be from our area. And there'll be about 55 people there this summer. And as Doris has already mentioned, the conferences that are there have really had an effect on people's lives. And we've been coming for about 6 years now to the couples conferences, bringing couples with us. And we know the effect. And one of the things that happens is they come up on the Glen, and it's such a special place. I hope that if I'm here 10 years, I will not lose that as I drive up on the Glen. I just think it is fantastic that God has provided this for us. And it has met my needs in so many ways, just to get away from what's going on out in the world, and to relax and let somebody share what Christ has done to them and affect me. And so I would really desire for you to pray for the summer training program here at the Glen this summer, that the girls, the guys, will have such a Christ-likeness about them that just as Doris was drawn, so some of these other couples that are coming this summer for the first time can be drawn to Jesus Christ. Which brings me to another point. We do work with couples. We have been working with couples now for several years, and we love it. And God showed me Titus 2, 4, and 5, which says that they may teach their young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And to me, that's my life verse. I can do that regardless of what Lewis is doing. I can do it with him, or I can do it separate from him. And so far we've been able to do it together. And I can even do it in this particular job too, even though we're not on a local campus or a local community ministry. And because my children are the age that they are, I'm able to travel with him. And so I can minister at conferences through workshops and one-on-one, as well as with the staff that I'm able to travel and meet with him. So this, you know, I'm excited about his particular job because I'm able to continue what God has laid on my heart to do. And that's simply to share what he's already taught me. I mean, I can't share what I don't know. And I'm not a Bible scholar. And that's the thing that excites me, is that disciple making is so simple. The things that I've learned in that verse with my relationship with Lewis, I can sit down and share with someone else. And then it goes on and on and on. And I love James 1:5, which I claim so many times. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And if someone comes up and says, I want to get some time with you, you know, I start praying, God, you give me that wisdom because I don't know what they're going to ask me. And it's so exciting that God will bring back verses that I've memorized for the very same problem in my life. And I can very simply just tell them what God has done for me in my life through quiet time and workshops and one-on-one. And so basically that's what we're doing, and we're excited.